We believe the potential would be about 1 gigaton of CO2 equivalents per year for all of agriculture. And if we estimate that about 1/3 of emissions come from smallholders now, we would then extrapolate to say that about 0.3 gigatons would be possible. But that is a very rough estimate based both on population numbers that come from a variety of different sources, modeling that relies on many assumptions, and so these numbers need to be treated with some caution.
What does that actually mean for farmers in terms of them being able to adapt to these weather conditions such as unexpected heavy rains and drought?
So the techniques that we're promoting are not only low emissions, but they are enabling farmers to be less vulnerable to climate change by virtue of increasing the efficiency, especially of different inputs. So for instance, in the case of paddy rice, and thinking now specifically of the Mekong Delta in Vietnam, water shortages in the Mekong due to sea levels dropping and saltwater intrusion into the delta area have meant that there's less water for irrigation. And the Vietnamese government has been very interested in how to save water. At the same time, we know that we can reduce emissions from paddy rice, namely methane, by draining the field midway through the season and even draining the field several times, because that reduces the bacteria that actually produce the methane. And those bacteria can only survive when the fields are flooded. They're anaerobic bacteria. We can address both problems. We can save water and we can reduce the methane. And they're doing that by controlling the pumping of water, the irrigation systems into these paddy fields.
Would these emissions work also in Africa?
Many parts of Africa were expecting less rainfall and more erratic rainfall, and so there could be trade-offs because irrigation at the same time is reducing risk, and so you'd have to find the balance between how much you're reducing risk by irrigating but draining the field at an appropriate time. For East Africa, though, I should say what we're concentrating on primarily is reduction of emissions from livestock. About 80% of the emissions are from livestock. There's huge interest among the countries in accessing climate finance through nationally appropriate mitigation actions, which is a UNFCCC mechanism. One of the opportunities that we see is the sustainable intensification of livestock, and namely improving the feed, doing what's called zero grazing, so enabling the livestock to be fed in place rather than grazing freely, and also especially enabling better feeding during the dry season so that production can be more even throughout the year. And these methods not only improve the overall productivity of the livestock, and in this case I'm thinking mostly of cattle, they also obviously will reduce the emissions because improved feed reduces the dry digestible matter and that reduces the methane that the cow will emit. We're also looking somewhat at improved manure management, but the real focus of our work is on the improved productivity of the cattle through this improved feed and the zero grazing and then reducing emissions as well.
Ultimately, of course, the goal is to reduce poverty and food insecurity. So how do these measures, how will they impact the quality and quantity of food for people?
We've estimated that these measures, based on a business case analysis, will increase the net revenue to farmers, if this is per household, by about $680 to $2,400 US. And that this also reduces emissions by 3.3% nationally relative to Kenya's 2010 emissions. So in terms of food production, farmers will not only have higher food productivity, they'll be producing more milk, but perhaps more importantly, because we've seen that income is more closely associated with relieving food insecurity than actual production by smallholders, that these are huge increases in farmers' incomes, and we expect that to play a significant role in alleviating food insecurity.